It's Wednesday and time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us today is Kevin Wooster, Rapid City reporter for KELO-TV. And Kevin, thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, Carl. Great to be back.
Also here on the line is Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. And Roger, nice to talk with you again as well.
Thanks, Carl. Glad to spend some time with you and Kevin.
All right. Well, the 2014 state legislative session ended on Friday after lawmakers passed a new budget. And Kevin, did this seem like a fairly quiet session?
I think any time you have enough money to handle most of the needs and maybe add a little money here and there, it's going to be fairly quiet unless you have a huge eruption of some social issue or something like that. And we didn't seem to have too much of that this year. There were a few little skirmishes here and there, including some by, you know, the hard right of the party against some of the mainstream members and some of that whole how do you manage your caucus thing going on, but nothing really serious. And they proceeded, as I guess you would expect them to proceed, on a year when there was seemed to be enough funding to cover most of your basic needs and maybe add a little bit.
And Roger Whittle, is that the way it seemed to you as well?
Yeah, that's one thing all the legislators were talking about the whole season, the whole session. It started out slow, and it never really picked up. They did manage to pass, I think, what they're calling the most generous budget in the Dugard era, found some extra money for schools, found some extra money for to fight the pine beetles in Kevin's backyard. So overall, I think they're happy with the way it went.
Did you see some issues still left unresolved, Roger?
The big one that was not resolved was the meandering waters issue, which is important up in this part of the state. The sportsmen and landowners, I think everybody was pretty confident we could get a bill passed this year and let the courts decide whether or not it was constitutional, but we seem to be going along toward that goal, and at the last minute things seem to fall apart. So that is an issue that they'd been working on all last summer and all during the session, and now pretty much nothing became of it, so that's something that we can look forward to again next year.
Do you see, Roger, that they'll continue to work on this with the meetings through the spring and summer?
Oh, sure. They pretty much have to. The issue is not going away. In fact, it's getting worse every year up here.
And Kevin Wooster, from your perspective, some of the things that perhaps are still left unresolved. I know Medicaid expansion is still out there.
I think that's a really interesting, complicated issue, and the whole question of how you figure out if covering part of the people that would be eligible under the national plan is appropriate, or if there's a way to cover fewer and have them have some of the people with the poor people. I think we could include all of them, but with slightly higher incomes, are they able to, with subsidies, handle their own health care insurance through the new Affordable Care Act? And I think that's an issue that, to me, has never actually been settled in my mind, is if it's true that that's possible, that there is an option there that people could afford, then the governor's plan and the Republicans' position on that may be more reasonable than initially it might seem. If that's not possible, then I think that's probably a negative approach that could be negative in some campaigns.
Roger Whittle, does it seem to you that on that topic that both the Democrats and the Republicans are trying to work that out, trying to find some sort of compromise?
Well, it sure seemed that way. Even the governor softened his viewpoint as the session went on. And I know right at the last minute, the Democratic leadership in the Senate was forced an amendment so to get everybody on the record of how they feel about this right before the final budget bill passed. So, yeah, I think there's hope there.
One state lawmaker received some national publicity this week. Phil Johnson, a Republican from Rapid City, gave an interview with the Rapid City Journal in which he was quoted as saying that businesses should have the right to deny service based on race or religion, and whether that's right or wrong can be fairly addressed by the free market, not government. And he gave a fictional example of a bakery run by a member of the Ku Klux Klan that refused to serve blacks. Most of us would find that detestable, he said, and within weeks that business would shut down because no one is going to patronize it. The national websites, Huffington Post and Salon, both jumped on that KKK quote. Since he's from your neck of the woods, Kevin, what do you make of his comments?
Well, first, I've been in an email exchange with one of the governor's advisors, Tony Van Huysen, about that issue, and he just sent me this comment from the governor on that, and I'm quoting here. I found his comments to be completely out of line with South Dakota values. I don't agree with him, and I haven't talked to anyone who does. So that's end quote, and that's from Governor Dugard, just sent to me just now from one of his advisors. And I guess that certainly is the way I see it. I'm interested, as somebody that covers this area and has covered Western South Dakota for quite a few years, the how this will play in District 33, which is an interesting district in a conservative area, but a few years back it was represented by a legislator named J.P. Dunafin, who I think most people would agree was conservative in some areas as a Republican, but also was a moderate thinker in others, kind of a mainstream Republican, and then followed up in the Senate in District 33 by Elizabeth Krauth, who was very conservative enough to be the prime sponsor on our constitutional ballot issue that defined marriages between a man and a woman, something that I don't think is going to last very long overall in South Dakota, but it is on the books now. But I can't imagine Elizabeth Krauth would have agreed with what Senator Jensen said, and in fact probably would have been abhorred by it, found it abhorrent. And so I guess, you know, I don't know if he stumbled and got his tongue ahead of himself there, or if that's just of the free market, hard right conservative view that he has shaped for himself. But I would certainly agree with Governor Dugard that it's certainly not in line with South Dakota values, and I haven't talked to anybody who agrees with it either.
Roger Whittle, do you have any thoughts on those comments and that story kind of getting some of that some national attention?
Well, I'd like to give the lawmaker the benefit of the doubt and say he was espousing smaller government rather than blatant racism. You know, every once in a while somebody says something that they probably regret, and a national website flies with it, and the country knows about it for a few hours, and then it seems to all blow away. So, I definitely agree with Kevin and the governor that that was the wrong way to put it, but I think if you ask him, he'll probably say, I just meant to say government shouldn't be making every decision for us.
So it's just one of those things that certain websites just love to jump on and have a little, I guess, fun with it.
Yes, and social media will then spread it even farther.
Yeah, and you know, it was written by my former podmate at the Journal, Daniel Simmons Ritchie, and it was really an interesting story. And he got Senator Jensen to be really candid about a lot of things, got him kind of in a free-flowing conversation, which you have to admire both the reporter and the lawmaker for doing that. And sometimes when you get people talking, heck, sometimes when I get talking, I get ahead of myself. Certainly, I would hope never in an area like that, but you say things you regret, and I guess we haven't clarified really how Senator Jensen looks back on that and how he feels about what he said.
Does Roger Whittle, does that the problem with something like this going national then that keeps lawmakers and people in the spotlight from perhaps from being candid and giving interviews to newspapers and helping us understand a little bit more about them and their positions?
With as often as it happens, one would think so, but I don't think so. I think politicians are always going to be trying to speak to their constituents, and every once in a while they're going to put their foot in their mouth, but nobody really seems to hold them responsible long-term for these things. We can criticize them for a while, and South Dakotans are a forgiving bunch. They'll move on, and I don't really see this being an issue. However, if I ever open a bakery, Kevin Wooster will always be welcome.
Well, is this something, Kevin, do you think Democrats can take advantage of at all? I know that Zach Crago, executive director of the State Democratic Party, has been issuing some press releases, among things, calling on Governor Dugard and GOP state senators to condemn those comments, which it sounds like they are.
Well, I think the governor was wise to issue this statement this morning, and you should take some credit for that, Carl, because they knew I was coming on here, so they got to me. And I don't know how this plays out in a campaign. I would certainly think that you could craft a creative ad with those comments and say something like, is this really the party you want representing you in South Dakota, and is this really the face that you want other states and other people in other states to see for South Dakota? And I think damage control is part of what the governor's doing right now, and I would expect to see other members of the party, not, you know, very, very few of whom I would think would be comfortable with those comments. I would expect to see them doing the same.
And Kevin Whittle, do you agree with that?
Yes, and Kevin Whittle is my brother.
Oh, sorry, Roger Whittle. Sorry.
Let's bring him on sometime. In fact, I'd like Kevin to come on sometime in place of Roger, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, speaking of the governor, he was certified as candidate for yesterday, although he hasn't yet announced that he's running for a second term. He is expected to make that announcement now that the session is over. Faces one declared Republican challenger, Laura Hubble. Two Democrats have announced their candidacy, Joe Lowe and Susan Wismer. There's also Curtis Strong of the Constitution Party, Independent Mike Meyer. Sounds like there's quite a few people running. But Kevin Wooster, will Governor Dugard's opponents cause him much problem, do you think, in his campaign for a second term?
I would think that Dennis Dugard is sleeping really soundly these days in terms of his campaign reelection prospects. I do see that Joe Lowe has raised $1,200 more in his governor's race so far than I have, but then I've raised zero, so that's not so much when you compare. Dugard's just been kind of cruising along, raising, I don't know, I read a Bob Mercer story here the day or two ago or today, and he's raised 800 some thousand last year and has 1.7 or 1.8 million in the bank, and he hadn't really been trying much. So this is shaping up to be an issue where some members, I would hope, are looking at this, some candidates, I should say, are looking at this as an opportunity to raise issues and not an opportunity to beat a Republican incumbent, because I don't see that opportunity here. We can always be fooled, and I've been wrong before, but if these candidates look at it as a challenge and a way to improve the process and a way to raise important issues, that's one thing, but he's not in any danger at this point.
Roger, do you see this as that's one of the motivations, or maybe the primary motivations of the people running against the governor, or to raise issues?
Well, you got to admire them. I mean, when the governor is sitting there with $1.8 million in his campaign chest, and I don't think everybody else combined might have $1,800 in theirs, you would hope that they're doing it for some reason, and this would be a good chance to raise some issues, but... Yeah, I think the governor can pretty much sleepwalk through this campaign.
And what sort of campaign do you expect him to run, Roger?
I would say very conservative.
Very conservative.
I would say he's not going to go out on many limbs during this one.
But he doesn't really have to, does he?
Exactly. Exactly.
And Kevin, do you think that'll be the way he runs his campaign as well?
Yeah, he's going to cruise along saying he's doing the state's business, and I imagine he'll show up for a certain number of debates when that becomes, you know, important or expected. And unless there's a huge stumble, or unless one of these candidates surprises everybody, it's going to be, as I said, their case to make, and boy, it's going to be difficult. Having said that, I agree with Roger. Laura Hubble, Joe Lowe, Susan Wismer, Curtis Strong, Mike Myers, good for you. People bring ideas into a campaign. That's important to our process, and they don't often get the credit they deserve because they often get hammered. But if they run campaigns that raise issues and challenge, they contribute to this democracy, and it's important.
Next Tuesday is the deadline for candidates to turn in their petitions to make the ballot for the primary is coming up in June. A number of the U.S. Senate candidates have already had their petitions approved. The session is over. Roger, now we've got the primary campaign season. Expect things to now start to pick up.
Oh, I really do. But if you're sitting in my office and getting emails on an hourly basis from the candidates, you would have thought that the campaign has been going on for months already. But we'll expect to see them out and about even more now.
Well, before we wind up the Dakota Political Junkies this week, just to mention that this is Sunshine Week, an annual nationwide observance to bring attention to public access to government information and government meetings. I know this is something that's important to people who are in journalism and people who are working on newspapers. And Kevin, how is South Dakota for openness and transparency? I know that some open government legislation last year that was proposed by a big task force didn't go too far.
I guess I'd give us about a C-. I think we've improved from years when we might have been flirting with Fs and did probably have some Ds, but we've had some major improvements in the state law overall, And I think people are getting more and more, a bit at a time. It's slow, and it's too slow for most of us in the media. But you know, some of that's got to come from the public, too, because we can cry about it, but until the public demands it, the more, you know, expansive changes aren't likely to come. But it's moving in the right direction, and I feel like whatever you think about Governor Dennis Dugard, he does have a commitment to openness that I think is admirable.
Roger Whittle?
And I would agree with the comment on the governor. He's totally on board with open government. It is improving. I know one group ranked us, I believe it was either 49th or 50th in the nation last year for openness. And things are changing. A lot of those bills last year probably should have been passed, but they weren't. There were a couple minor ones this year that did make it through, one on police logs becoming open records, and one on making the Activities Association, High School Activities Association, underneath the state's open meeting laws. So it's a slow process, but the newspaper association president tells us you just got to keep going back every year and plugging at it, and eventually we can get it where we need it to be.
Well, that's all the time we have for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. Roger, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us this week.
Thank you.
And Kevin, thanks for your time as well.
Carl, Roger. See ya.
Kevin Wooster is Rapid City reporter for KELO-TV, and Roger Whittle is managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. The Dakota Political Junkies are a regular Wednesday feature of Dakota Midday. You're